If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Helena, thank you for joining us again. I know it was kind of abrupt last week. You got in the middle of a crazy news cycle and we had to say goodbye, but here you are back again. She represents an organization that knows a lot about the impact of AI data centers on water usage, our water. I'm going to work on my mic for a second. Please share with the audience how much water is used and how it is used in AI data centers.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm Helena Volder. I'm the Senior Source Water Policy Manager for the Alliance for the Great Lakes. The Alliance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working to protect our most precious resource, the fresh, clean, natural waters of the Great Lakes. Water is used inside of data centers to break it down in a process called evaporative cooling. And that's where water is kind of pushed through a membrane to cool the data center racks that get hot from the processing and computing that takes place. When that method is used, more than half of the water actually evaporates out and is lost to the watershed. And the other half is either recirculated once it cools down or discharged as wastewater. So that's one method of cooling that data centers can use. There are other methods such as direct chip or immersive cooling. And that's where the server hardware is exposed directly to a coolant that circulates throughout the servers, bringing that temperature down in a different way rather than cooling the air entirely. So the main thing, though, is that evaporative cooling, in my research, is what I found is the most common method right now in the industry. And why that's a concern is the consumptive use that's associated with it. And it's not just the impact of one data center. This is an influx of demand that we're seeing in response to the growth of generative AI, which really requires liquid cooling in order to bring down the temperature in those data centers.
As I mentioned last week, I see a lot of videos of really distraught people who are near AI data centers. Maybe they've been in their home 30, 40 years. One gets built, and all of a sudden they're turning on their faucet, and there's no water.
Yeah, we're kind of at a turning point now where we may begin to see some more conflicts over water, especially groundwater, and that's detailed in our report, which you can find at greatlakes.org. I say we're at a turning point with this because the Great Lakes region already has existing conflicts over groundwater in some regions. So, for example, Southwest Michigan, the Central Sands region of Wisconsin. And most recently, there was a report out of west of South Bend, Indiana, where there's an EV battery plant and a data center. And that was exactly what was suspected to have happened, is that during the dewatering process, the construction to make way for those facilities, residents' wells were suspected to have run dry. And so I think without more regional demand planning about where water is available and where it's not, incorporated at the state level to inform those economic development decisions about where to locate a data center, we may start to see more of those groundwater conflicts. And the state's groundwater laws, management laws, are not well equipped right now to be prepared for those kinds of conflicts.
Right, because we didn't see this coming. And of course, officials are clamoring to get these AI data centers to open in their district, their town, their county, their state, and you're telling me they haven't had the conversations that need to be had about the usage of water?
Yeah, so that's an interesting way to frame it. Every state in the Great Lakes region has enacted some type of legislation to offer a sales tax incentive to data centers for be it the equipment that's used inside the data center or some other kind of incentive to attract this industry. And so what I found in the research is that states are starting to take a look at this. So for example, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio have started to undertake regional demand studies to get this better understanding of where water is available and where it's not. But in Ohio, for example, is a very reactive, reactionary type approach where, this industry started developing and then these studies were undertaken. So the first one has now been completed for the central Ohio area, 15-county area around Columbus, which has seen tremendous growth in this sector. And, we're encouraging states to continue to do those types of studies to be prepared, in terms of siting, when you're offering economic development incentives to site those data centers or be it data centers or other types of large water users, where the resources are available to support it.
And Helena, if you are a person who is listening and you know one is being built near you, what can you do other than show up to community meetings, I would guess, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot local folks can do. The first one I would recommend is to read our report and to learn more at greatlakes.org. Share that report with your local and state officials. Being informed at the local level is very important. A lot of times, the decision to site a data center isn't even public until a zoning decision needs to happen at the local level. And so that's an opportunity for folks to weigh in on how they feel about that and the different concerns they may have. One of the recommendations we make in the report is at the local level, that local cities and governments start utilizing something called a community benefit agreement, which is a type of agreement that can be used during the negotiating process, to secure some environmental benefits, water resources benefits back to the community, in addition to things like labor and wages. And some of these have been used, for example, the example in the report that we mentioned is the LAX airport reconstruction. It was able to secure some provisions regarding engine idling and electrifying of gates to secure some environmental improvements. The same thing can be done with water efficiency. Conservation measures could be incorporated in those types of agreements during negotiation process or in the process of offering some type of incentive to a company to locate.
So the first start for people who are in that area is greatlakes.org.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope we can have more conversations like this in the future.
Thanks so much for having me on. Have a good one.